What's happening, guys? welcome to Screen Realm, the Screen Realm podcast. This is the first one I'm going to be talking about. This is Guillermo, manager of ScreenRealm.com. I write a number of the articles there, a number of the news stories and stuff like that. We have a bunch of writers that review the films as well. So I'm going to be just talking about the week that was in the film TV industry. If you're listening to this as a Screen Realm podcast, you should probably know that this is actually an excerpt from my larger podcast, which is, I think, I haven't even named that thing. So I think it's like, I don't know, GT Ponders or something, because my initials is Guillermo Troncoso, and I think about stuff, so it's GT Ponders. Yeah, so be aware that this is part of a bigger podcast where I talk about general things about me and life and whatever goes. So feel free to check out that podcast as well. That's, I think, GT Ponders. So check that out. I think that's going to be on Spotify and SoundCloud and stuff like that. Around the place. Google. If not, if you just wanted to hear this, that's all good. No hard feelings. You can be like that, okay? I'm going to, by the way, for the Screen Realm podcast, we're going to be trying to upload. Well, not necessarily uploading. So we're going to start recording maybe on Saturdays or Fridays so that I can talk about the week that was and releasing that every weekend or maybe on Sunday or Monday even. So to kick off, I want to talk about two reviews that we've recently published in the last 2 days. So Creed 2, our writer Glenn Cochrane, he liked it. He liked it. Look, it's not... I still haven't seen it. So some of these reviews, by the way, I haven't seen. So I'm going to be talking about what our writers thought of them and giving you some general information about them. And so Creed 2, Glenn liked. He gave it a 3 out of 5. We review films out of 5 stars. He gave it a 3 out of 5. The headline reads, Creed 2, Rocky 8 delivers cushy jabs without landing a knockout. I was pretty proud of that one. I think that's a pretty good headline for the review. He was talking about how the film doesn't quite live up to the standards set by Creed 1, and that it's ridiculously like Rocky 4. It's just like a repeat. They repeat so much, and there's so much fan service in this one. So I think if you really, really, really loved Creed, I don't know, from what I gather from Glenn's review, it's not on par. And that's a bit of a disappointment considering how good Creed was. And it served like as a really good restart for this Rocky franchise. Not restart necessarily, but just a reboot slash continuation for the franchise. And yeah, so I think Creed 2, from what I gather, has great performances. Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, all good again. But this time they have a little less to work with since the film is a little more reliant on cliches and a little more... about that, about the nods to the franchise and about the Ivan Drago, element that was Rocky IV. So I think fans, like hardcore fans of the entire franchise, they'll probably be happy with it, I think, because, you know, all the nods, all the fan service, you're going to be like, hey, this is what I loved about, like, these elements is what I liked about the Rocky films. But I think if you're coming off the back of just Creed, you might be like a little less inclined to think it's amazing. So go check it out. Creed 2 reviews on the site. From what I gather, it's a good film. It's a bit disappointing in comparison to the first film, but it's got all the elements and the tropes of this kind of franchise and this kind of genre, really, that the audiences have gravitated towards a lot. I think one of the issues is that the main character of Adonis Creed, he's just not that likable in this film. And so, especially when you compare to the Rocky character that we've all fallen in love with over the films, and he was much more likable. He was much more of a underdog hero, guy that you wanted to root for. While Adonis Johnson, Michael B. Jordan's character, I think is a good character. I think the fact that he's a little bit, he's a hard ass, basically. He's a hard ass and he's got like a big ego. And so I think that makes it a little harder to root for him. Maybe. Maybe that's an element that could be another detraction. That's what Glenn mentions as well. But look, having a quick look on IMDb, it's got an 8.1 with, at the time of this recording, over 3,500 votes. That's not a ton of votes yet because it's just coming out around the world. But look, that's showing that audiences are really liking this film. So audiences are liking this film, and the Metascore is 67 at the moment. Look, if you care about this kind of stuff, scores and, you know, algorithms and all this kind of stuff to get an idea, I kind of like it. I kind of like it, but, you know, I've got some friends that absolutely hate it. They hate that, you know, a film can just be judged upon an amalgamate of other reviews or something like that, especially since Rotten Tomatoes works on like a good slash bad thing. Yeah. So, for example, on Rotten Tomatoes, Creed 2, let me just pull it up here. I thought I had it here. Creed 2 on Rotten Tomatoes so far has a 82%. So that's pretty good. And an 89 audience score. Hey, man. So, like, okay, this is looking really good. We gave it a 3, which is like, what, like a 6 out of 10? Which is, or 7 out of 10? I think that's pretty good. So, yeah, Creed 2, let me know what you think, or hit us up on Screen Realm on Facebook to let us know what you thought of the film as well. The other film review that we had go up was Adam Fleet's review of Dragged Across Concrete. I'm so excited to see this one. So this is a film by S. Craig Zahler, who's known for Bone Tomahawk, which with Kurt Russell, and Brawl in Cell Block 99 with Vince Vaughn. Okay, so Vince Vaughn, the funny guy, straight up badass as hell in Brawl in Cell Block 99. This guy, S. Craig Zahler, he's pretty severe with his films. They're really bloody, really, really pulpy, and yeah, like they have like a pretty out there sense of humor as well. Like there's a darkness to everything that he does, but he's a good filmmaker. He's a standout filmmaker. Adam, our writer, he absolutely loves Zahler. So this one is a highly anticipated film for me because it has Zahler directing Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson together in a corrupt cop film. That sounds so cool. So two great actors, in my opinion. The less said about Mel Gibson's off-screen past antics, the better, I think. I mean, I'm kind of, when it comes to seeing him on screen, I'm okay with him. So if you're not, that's cool. I get it. But this is another, like Creed 2, this was, Adam had high expectations for this one. He went in thinking, you know what, this is going to be another great film from another great director. He was a bit disappointed as well. The main issue is that there's just a little bit of a pointless feeling to it. And it's really freaking long as well. How long is it? It's 159 minutes. So it's like 2 hours and a half for this kind of film, and it says it seems slow, and you can feel that length. The plot is basically these two cops, they get filmed for some kind of brutality, and they get suspended. And then since they're not earning money, what they do is they decide to get into some corruption to get that cash. And that's the basic gist of what goes down. Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn are the two cops. Then you've got like 2 hours and 40 minutes or something of just kind of ramblings and mixed with some decent elements. And so he liked it, gave it a 3 out of 5 as well. So we've got two 3 out of 5 films there. Okay, so that's the other one. I'm looking forward to seeing that. That one comes out August 29 in Australia, but Adam saw it. It's part of the 2018 Monster Fest in Melbourne. This was the opening film, I think. So Icon Film Distribution will be releasing this one on August 29. Check out the review on screenroom.com. Especially if you haven't heard of this film at all. A number of my friends, a number of people I've been talking to don't know about this film at all, which is kind of surprising that they haven't been marketing this harder. I think it's going to have a limited audience, but we'll see how it goes. Keep an eye on Dragged Across Concrete. In terms of some movie news that dropped during the week, it was a relatively quiet week. I mean, I think we did have the unfortunate last week. Not this week. We had last week the death of Stan Lee, which I didn't get to talk about because the podcast hadn't started yet. So that's sad. I mean, Stan Lee, an icon of Marvel. I was never such a huge comic. I have never been such a huge comic fan, but I know his importance. And rest in peace, Stan Lee. He will be missed. Greatest Showman soundtrack was released. That wasn't even this week either, was it? November 16th. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at maths. I can't even figure out if it was like, was that in the last 7 days? Whatever. What do you guys think of the Greatest Showman soundtrack? I mean, it's all right. So I'm talking about the reimagined soundtrack with Panic at the Disco, Kelly Clarkson, Pink, and a whole bunch of other people. I think it's okay. I mean, it's not crash hot. Some tracks are better than others. I think, what was it? A Never Enough, where Kelly Clarkson sings that. I think that's a good one. I think Panic at the Disco's take on the Greatest Show is decent. This is me with Kesha and Missy Elliott. Personally, not a fan, especially Missy Elliott's kind of inspirational rap. It just feels dated and kind of out of place. In terms of trailers, there were some good trailers that dropped. The Lion King. Okay, The Lion King. The live-action remake of The Lion King by Jon Favreau. It got its first trailer a couple of days ago. Oh, man, I'm nervous about this one. Look, normally I don't care. You know, people are talking about remakes and, like, how they're just like, oh, no, remake, ugh. Hollywood churning out remakes, ugh. Why they can't come up with new ideas? Why they gotta ruin the original? I don't care normally, okay? For me, films are not untouchable. I mean, if you can't accept that a new story's gonna come out, or, I mean, a new take on an old story's gonna come out, I mean, what? Who cares? The thing is, the original will always remain. If you love the original of any film, it will always remain there, and you can love that. But if Hollywood wants to create a new one, a new take on something, it is what it is. I mean, there'll be a new generation that they're gonna maybe get a chance to look at the old one because of this new one. So, say if this new Lion King's amazing, and more and more, like, of the new children, of the new generations, they flock to it, which they probably will, and they'll go, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind checking out the original animated film. And then they check it out, and they're like, oh my god, it was amazing as well. Then, hey, that's a win-win, alright? So then you got more people seeing that, and if this is a new, good version, you know, fingers crossed. And, you know, we get some really good remakes, and there's so many remakes that people don't even know are remakes. Like, people talk about Scarface, the Al Pacino one, and that was a remake. People, like, talk about The Thing, and that was a remake as well. So, I'm surprised that I'm a little nervous about this one, because The Lion King is such an important film for me. It was the first film I saw in the cinema as a child. The first film that I saw in the cinema was The Lion King. My mother took me to see it in Hornsby Odeon Cinema, which is, I think, one room. Is it just one room? I think it's one room that was there when I was like four. And it's still there now, Hornsby Odeon Cinema. Shout out Hornsby Odeon. Keep fighting the good fight. I mean, I don't know how they're still going. They're a little independent cinema. One room. It's an adorable place. And just like across the road is Event Cinemas in the shopping center. And it's massive. This Hornsby Odeon is still going. So this is where I saw The Lion King. And so I've always maintained that it's my favorite Disney animated film. I love the soundtrack. I love everything about this movie. So I'm a bit worried that, I don't know, I don't want Jon Favreau hitting the emotional beats without the urgency or without the depth that the original animated film did. The trailer is pretty good though. Of course, I said this in the trailer write-up that you can see at screenrealm.com. The visuals look incredible. The special effects look amazing. But of course they are gonna, because it's Disney and it's got Disney money. So Disney can just throw money at anything and all of a sudden visually it'll look good, you know? Maybe the film, the script won't be that good. Maybe the acting will be iffy. Maybe the direction won't be crash hot. But special effects, visuals, easy as hell for Disney to just throw money at stuff like that. So it's not worth getting so excited about visuals, I think, these days, especially because that just means money. So when it's a huge studio and you're like, wow, awesome effects. Yeah, of course. There's so much money there. The trailer shows what I was surprised to see was a number of shot-for-shot scenes. You know, there's the Sivenya. Okay, I'm not going to do that again. The African landscape. There's the animals start going towards Pride Rock when Simba is presented. So many of these shots are like shot-for-shot from the animated film. And it got me thinking, is this going to be completely shot-for-shot remake? Is Jon Favreau just going to look at every frame or every sequence and just copy it into the CG? I don't want that, personally. I don't feel like that's a good idea. Because you're doing something again, give me something fresh, you know what I mean? It's a tough one, because I can imagine a lot of people like, but it's so different, it's got nothing like the original. People complain about that as well. But in my mind, if you're going to be doing something again, try to do something different. Try to do something a little more creative. Maybe a little bit of a change here and there would be awesome. So hopefully we get enough difference to make this worthwhile and not just a CG / live action redo of what we've seen before. Because then I'll just go see the animated film again. I don't need to see this expensive looking, it looks gorgeous by the way, expensive looking remake. The voice cast, I'm excited about the voice cast. Donald Glover as Simba, Donald Glover, who's like, man, he's so talented. You got Beyonce as Nala. Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar. James Earl Jones is back as Mufasa. That's right. He's back as Mufasa, as he should be. No one else can do Mufasa's voice. And thank goodness he's still around to do that. Then you got, what, Seth Rogen as Pumbaa. John Oliver as Zazu. Rowan Atkinson did Zazu in the original Lion King. Zazu is the bird. I think John Oliver Zazu, that's an inspired choice. I'm pretty excited about that. Just next year, Aladdin will arrive in May, and The Lion King will arrive in July. So you got two live-action remakes. It's going to be a busy few months for Disney and their remakes, and it's not going to stop, obviously. We've got Mulan on the way as well. Oh my gosh, they've got so much stuff happening. That trailer, pretty exciting stuff. Have you guys seen The Limit? There's a trailer for The Limit. Robert Rodriguez has made a, I think, 20-minute virtual reality movie. It's a cool idea. It's a virtual reality film, 20 minutes, 360 degrees, where... So the synopsis is like this. Okay, so now available to buy as an app across VR platforms, the film finds you a rogue agent, so you're playing a rogue agent, POV, obviously, enlisting the help of M13, played by Michelle Rodriguez. She's an enhanced super assassin to help you retrieve your... What is it? Why did this just freeze on me? What is happening right now? Hang on a second. Stand by. Firefox update? Ah, man, I don't know about that. Okay, I'm back. So it says, okay, I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to interrupt myself. Now available to buy as an app across VR platforms, the film finds you, a rogue agent, enlisting the help of M13, Michelle Rodriguez, an enhanced super assassin to help retrieve your identity and take on the deadly organization behind your creation. Norman Reedus also stars. Rodriguez co-wrote the film with his son, Racer Max Rodriguez. Yes, Robert Rodriguez named his son Racer Max. It just feels like, of course he did. Of course Robert Rodriguez named his son Racer Max. I mean, excuse me, I'm having a bit of coke here. Cocaine, that is, obviously. Yeah, Racer Max. How cool is that? For those people that were listening to me earlier, prior to the Scream Realm start of this podcast, that's what I'm gonna name my son, Racer Max. If I ever have a son or a girl, Maxine, for example, Racer Max. No one's gonna make fun of Racer Max. Anyway, I digress. So it looks cool. I mean, if you guys have seen Hardcore Henry, which was a POV action flick, on a technical level, that was a pretty impressive film. Narratively, not that great. Charlton Copley, the guy from District 9. He was in that film. He played a number of different characters. It was fun. It was a fun experiment that I think didn't quite work in a narrative sense. You didn't really care about what was going on, but you did like all the action sequences. Some of that stuff, you were like, how in the hell? Like, I don't know. It was impressive. This looks pretty similar. Obviously, the 360 degree thing, that's going to be pretty interesting. I said this as well. I said in the article that I wrote, I said the 360 degree element here marks a big difference. Could be quite fun to be looking around during some of these ambitious action sequences. It's only 20 minutes long, which I think is a decent amount of time, because many people may be getting quite sick in terms of motion sickness during this whole thing. I want to try it out. I mean, I don't really know much about VR, to be honest. I wish I did. I like the idea of it, but I do get motion sickness easily. Yeah, maybe I should just have like a bucket on hand. So the new Lego movie trailer dropped for the Lego movie 2. That looks quite good. The Batman Lego film, that was good. That was quite good. I really enjoyed that. Really funny, really quick, really witty, and plenty, so many nods for DC fans and fans of Batman. And then they had, what was that? Lego Ninjago movie. Ah, man, that was poor. I mean, it wasn't horrific, but that was such a meh cash-in. It felt like a cash-in. I didn't dig it. And audiences, generally speaking, I'm talking generally, some of you out there may be huge fans, that's cool, didn't really dig it either, didn't do that well financially. And so we're kind of like in this like, yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do? And then they got the Lego Movie 2, and it looks really good. Like, it looks like it's back to the Lego Movie 1 stylings, the humor, the kind of self-aware, full of references. Chris Pratt, he voices a new character now, which I'm pretty excited about. It's basically like a combination of his characters from Jurassic World, sorry, and Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a really funny part in the trailer. We'll see what happens here. It's a huge voice cast. Jonah Hill, Elizabeth Banks, Channing Tatum, Tiffany, I mean everything, Haddish, Will Arnett, back as Batman. I'm excited for this. Let me know if you guys are excited about it as well. What else we got? Replicas trailer. This is interesting. It's a Keanu Reeves science fiction film. So it's basically about, Keanu Reeves plays a scientist dude who loses his family in a car accident. He decides that he's going to clone their bodies secretly and create replicas. So, unsurprisingly, things don't go well, because movies assume that science is the devil and that only bad things can happen when you mess with science. I like Keanu Reeves. We all love Keanu Reeves. It was filmed in 2016 until it got picked up in 2017 at the Toronto International Film Festival, and we're finally going to get a release in 2019. It looks okay. You've got Alice Eve, who's just okay in my books, playing his wife. I do like in the trailer how we start off with Alice Eve doing her thing. She's running around, and I think she's going for a jog, and then she looks like she feels a bit weird. And it turns out, as Keanu Reeves tells her, yo, you died, and the kids that died, you're all actually dead right now. Clones right now. I don't know, I like clone stuff. I actually thought The Sixth Day was quite a good film, but then again, I did see that as a young man, and I thought Street Fighter was pretty good back in the day. So take my youthful reviews with a grain of salt. It looks okay. Check out Replica's trailer on ScreenRealm.com. Once Upon a Deadpool. Next month we're going to be getting, so in December, we're going to be getting a PG-13. That's the US rating. So we're going to be getting, I don't think it's been rated here yet, but we're going to be getting a tamer Deadpool 2 with a, like, bookended, with a new bookended narrative that brings in Fred Savage. So it has Deadpool telling Fred Savage's story, like The Princess Bride, when a young Fred Savage is told the story that goes into that film. So it's a funny little trailer that doesn't really give away much in terms of what new footage we're going to be getting, apart from this, the framing narrative that's, but more Deadpool, I'm always in. It's an obvious cash in, and you know that Disney's going to be looking at this thing going, okay, if audiences like Deadpool and they're willing to accept a Deadpool that has the limitations of a PG-13, then maybe we can actually put him in different universes. Imagine Deadpool with the Avengers. Oh man, that could happen. It could happen. I mean, it can't be just a Fox marketing incentive to get, you know, that Disney's got some kind of something to do with this, because this is a bit obvious, which I'm okay with. You know what? I'm okay. Normally when it's like this obvious as hell that it's trying to make more money, I get a bit like, eh, what? But I get it. That's cool. I like the poster. It's Deadpool with Fred Savage on a reindeer. And it says, Once Upon a Deadpool, a fairy tale that gives zero Fs. Actually, if you have a PG-13 in the United States, you can actually have one F word. So it should say a fairy tale that gives one F. Yep, so December 13 here in Australia, Once Upon a Deadpool. Check out that trailer as well. It's just a teaser. There's a few other things that happened. apologies if I'm kind of a little all over the place with how this is unfolding. I'm still getting the hang of it. So I promise this will get much smoother. Check out the Netflix Australia release schedule for December. That's also up on ScreenRealm.com. And we've got a couple of giveaways going on right now. We've got Incredibles 2. We're giving away Blu-rays of Incredibles 2. 10 Incredibles 2 Blu-rays to celebrate the film's release on digital HD. It's already on digital HD from November 14th. And it's 4K Blu-ray DVD release on November 28th. So we're giving away 10 Blu-ray copies. Head to ScreenRealm.com. Go to the win page. You can see it in the menu at the top, the win page. Or you can just go to screenrom.com/competitions and you'll see the Incredibles 2 giveaway where you just got to enter and you'll be in the draw to win. And also we have a... What are we giving away? And we are also giving away tickets to see Overlord. Guys, Overlord is coming to cinemas December 6th. Guys, I saw this during Oz Comic Con. It's good. Like, it's good. If you've seen the trailer and you think, hey, that looks sick because I want to see World War II soldiers taking on the Nazis, but not only just taking on Nazis, Nazi zombie monster guys, and it looks bloody and violent. It's exactly what you think it is, and it's a good one. It's good. It's just a lot of fun. This is produced by J.J. Abrams, directed by Australian director Julius Avery, who, what did he do before this? Son of a Gun. He did Son of a Gun, which had Ewan McGregor in it. I thought that was okay, but this is good. This is a good film. Highly suggest you guys check it out when it comes out, and if you want a chance to win tickets, head to screenrealm.com/competitions, or just go to Screen Realm, hit win in the menu, and you'll get a page that has all our competitions, and Overlord is one of them. We're giving away 10 double passes to see Overlord in cinemas, so be sure to check that out. On some quick other things that arrived in the news, we have a series adaptation of Four Weddings and a Funeral heading to Hulu. That's a great film. Four Weddings and a Funeral, that's a fun romantic comedy. Hugh Grant, Andy McDowell. How old is that film? I think it's 94. Well, let me have a look. Four Weddings. Yeah, 94. Man, I'm good. It's getting a television adaptation. A limited series. And it's going to be starring Game of Thrones actress Natalie Emmanuel. So she, you may know, she was also in Furious 7. Or she plays like a hacker or something like that. Excuse me. This Coke is making me burp, even though it's in my nose. Okay, I am drinking Coke, like Coca-Cola, just in case somehow someone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing drugs on a podcast. Natalie Emmanuel is playing the lead in Four Weddings and a Funeral series. She actually replaced another actress that was previously cast in this series, Jessica Williams, who she starred in Netflix series The Incredible Jessica James. She has a role in Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, which is currently in cinemas. She got replaced. So Natalie Emmanuel is the new star of the show. The synopsis, it revolves around four American friends who reunite for a fabulous London wedding. After a bombshell at the altar throw their lives into turmoil, they must weather a tumultuous year of romance and heartbreak. Relationships are forged and broken, political scandals exposed, London social life lampooned, love affairs ignited and doused, and of course, there are four weddings and a funeral. TV adaptations of films, they're always like iffy propositions, but I mean, come on, we had Fargo. Think about that. We had Fargo, the series. Fargo was first announced, I remember thinking, that is a terrible idea. One of the Coen brothers' best films. You're going to make it into a TV series? Oh my gosh. It's good. It's so good. How good is it, right? Seriously, how good is it? Tell me, I'll wait. I know, it's so good. This era of television is freaking incredible. So I'm just all in now when it comes to TV news. I'm like, yep, oh, that sounds good. By the way, speaking of Hugh Grant from Four Weddings and a Funeral, he's got a series coming up with Nicole Kidman, an HBO limited series called The Undoing. And that's from David E. Kelly, the creator of Big Little Lies. Big Little Lies. So he's reuniting with Nicole Kidman, who's... Can you guys hear the siren? Jeez, maybe they heard about my cocaine joke and they're coming and get me. Okay, just... Everyone shh. Okay, they're gone. Oh, wait. Oh, jeez. What is happening out there? Zombie takeover. It's happening. So... The Undoing, it's a 6-episode HBO series starring Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, directed by Suzanne Bier, whose credits include the Oscar-winning drama In a Better World that won Best Foreign Film, and the BBC series The Night Manager. So she directed those. She's going to be directing this, and this is an adaptation of a novel called You Should Have Known. It follows Grace, played by Nicole Kidman, a successful therapist whose content life with a devoted husband, played by Hugh Grant, and elite school attending young son, takes quite the turn. Overnight, a chasm opens in her life, a violent death, a missing husband, and in place of a man Grace thought she knew, only a chain of terrible revelations. Left behind in the wake of a spreading and very public disaster, and horrified by the ways in which she has failed to heed her own advice, Grace must dismantle one life and create another for her child. Hugh Grant's character, Jonathan, is an acclaimed pediatric oncologist, a devoted husband and devoted father, but his past undergoes scrutiny when he suddenly disappears, leading to a chain of terrible revelations. That's a pretty good plot, right? I mean, that's a pretty good synopsis for that, I think. I mean, because that could go anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. And it's got like a Big Little Lies thing. Not Pretty Little Lies. Big Little Lies. I mean, is it Big Little Lies? Am I saying it right? Or is it Pretty Little Lies? No, Pretty Little Lies is the other one with the teeny one. Yeah. It looks good. I mean, it sounds good. Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman. I like that Hugh Grant is dabbling in a little more serious fare lately. I've always liked Hugh Grant, but he became a bit of a caricature of himself with the whole, in all his rom-coms. So I think it's good that he's actually standing out and doing different things. I mean, he was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Florence Foster Jenkins, Paddington 2, He had a series earlier this year called A Very English Scandal. He's doing more and more stuff. And he's also going to be starring in Guy Ritchie's return to the crime gangster genre in a movie called Toff Guys. Toff, as in T-O-F-F, guys. That's it, guys. I could go on with some other little things that have arrived, but I think those are some of the bigger things that I think dropped in the last week. Don't forget to check out screenrealm.com for more and more movie and TV news that we're going to be dropping this week. We've got more competitions coming up. Don't forget Overlord tickets, Incredibles 2 Blu-rays. Those are in the competitions that we've got live right now. Instagram, screen_realm on Instagram. It's at Screen Realm on Twitter and Screen Realm on Facebook. So be sure to check out all those channels and like, subscribe, all that stuff to make us feel important and that people are reading our stuff and are checking out our opinions out. Okay. Bye-bye.